Our parsha opens with a detailed description of the mitzvah of Bikurim, the obligation of the Jewish farmer to bring his first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash, to present them to the Kohen, and then the owner, and this is really the central theme of the presentation in our parsha, recites a declaration of gratitude, of Hakaras HaTov to Hashem for his guiding role in Jewish history, culminating on a personal level with the farmer's ability to have this crop brought to the Beis HaMikdash. After the Kohen takes the fruit and lays them before the Mizbeach, the owner declares, Arami Oved Avi, Lavan tried to destroy our forefather Yaakov, and furthermore, Vayared Mitzrayma, and then later Yaakov went down in a small number to Egypt, and eventually we left in great multitudes. But not before the Egyptians also tried to destroy us. They mistreated us, they afflicted us, they forced us into great servitude with difficult work and backbreaking labor. But nevertheless, we continue when we say, Hashem saw our suffering, you heard our cries. And he took us out of Egypt, and we went from strength to strength. And eventually Hashem took us to Eretz Yisrael, the land of Eretz Zavas, Chalav, Udavash. In other words, the centerpiece of this declaration is an encapsulated review of Jewish history. First we were threatened, then we were saved and made it to the land of Israel. Question, however, is that if we're going to have this crash course in Jewish history, why select these specific examples, these two examples where our people were threatened? First of all, just we know there are a lot more than two, unfortunately. So why pick these two? And if these are meant to just be mere examples of the general phenomenon of Hashem's kindness and therefore our Hakaras HaTov, as he has saved us so many times from destruction, so why not just say in a general sense that we thank Hashem for that? Why mention any specific example? And if there is a need for specific examples, why not just one illustration? Why two? And if whatever it is, if we had to give any specific ones, why pick these two? What about everything that was left out? What about Kriyas Yamsuf, Amalek, the wars with Sichon and Og? What about the Mon in the Midbar, the Be'er, earlier in history, Yaakov's salvation from the murderous hands of his brother Esav? Why his loved one's feared attack more deserving than Esav's almost really attack, and the sorrow shall Esav? There's so many things you could have picked from. What is going on? So to answer these questions, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, in a talk that is included in his collection of Likutei Sichos in Chelek Yudalad, the 14th volume, he explains what animates the choice of these two episodes specifically is that they actually have a deep thematic connection to Bikurim. Rashi, on the opening pasuk of our parsha, brings the teaching from the Gemara in Masechta Kiddushin that the mitzvah of Bikurim only became obligatory when the Jews had finally divided and fully settled the land of Israel, and every shevet was in their portion, every particular family was in their portion within their shevet. Bikurim was not a mitzvah that became obligatory when the Jews entered the land of Israel, but only after they had conquered and fully and completely settled the land. The Rebbe says that this particular point, that even though they ended up spending years living in Israel before Bikurim, Bikurim only became obligatory when they fully took ownership of the land and possessed it in a very personal and permanent way. This shows, says the Rebbe, that Bikurim was not simply an offering of Hakaras HaTov, of thanksgiving, for Hashem's gift of the land, because then that would have happened right away, but primarily it was a gift of, it was a acknowledgement of thanksgiving, of Hakaras HaTov, for our zechus in settling it and making it our permanent home. In the words of the Rebbe, Shabo el Hanachla, Yashvut Kivu'aba, that we came to this place, our destined inheritance, in a permanent settling. Not just that we were there, but we were now permanently at home. It was only then, when we settled in our permanent home, that we truly express our Hakaras HaTov, our appreciation. It's not just that Hashem brought us to this land, Vivienu el Hamakom Hazeh, but rather Ve Yitein Lanu, that He gave it to us as a permanent home, this land of Eretz Zavas Chalav Udavash, this land so beautiful and flowing with milk and honey. The Lubavitcher Rebbe continues and he explains that understood in this light, we now understand why these two incidents of persecution were particularly chosen to be mentioned. Because both of these instances are when our ancestors were not on the move or on the run. They were living in a place of permanent settlement and apparent security. And it was Dafka in these two places that nevertheless enemies arose to try to destroy them. Yaakov had dwelled in Aram, lived with Lavan for 20 years, certainly felt that he had a home there. His children eventually lived in Egypt for 210 years. These were not places that were just passing through the night. These were not temporary things, but these were places of real settlement for the Jewish people. And nevertheless, despite the fact that they might have thought that they had found a home in Aram and Mitzrayim, respectively, it was Dafka then the persecutions arose from Esav, and then later, from Lavan and from Mitzrayim. The other persecutions, the other things that we mentioned, they all took place when we were on the run. Esav confronted Yaakov when he was traveling. The other miracles took place when we were journeying out of Mitzrayim and we were in the desert wandering. These are times of inherent vulnerability. On the run, in the Midbar. But in Lavan's home, we felt at home. In Egypt, we felt secure. And it's that fact, the very fact that we were vulnerable even in those circumstances, gives us the greatest appreciation for the gift of our own permanent home, of Eretz Yisrael. Bikurim celebrates the Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael, the fact that we have a permanent home in our own land, in the land of Eretz Yisrael. The genuine greatness and generosity of this gift is accented by specifically referencing these two threats that confronted us at times when we weren't on the run, but we thought we had found other temporary homes. Of course, more recent Jewish history has reminded us of this same message, where places where Jews have thought they were home have ultimately turned in the opposite direction as well. Now, of course, even in Eretz Yisrael now, we face threats, and in other times in history, the Jewish people felt threats in Eretz Yisrael. But Eino Doma, of course, being home with your permanent government, your permanent army, your army to defend you, than the feelings of vulnerability that we had anywhere else and earlier in Jewish history.